Skype all around the world. Sync your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd? Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
And once again, it's time for another Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson. Here with us on the podcast this week, we got all sorts of fun planned for you, like we do every single time we do a podcast. I can't say every week, because it's not really every week that we do this. We just do this when we can, but I'm going to try to be better at that, and at least maybe every weekend record something, get it up on Monday morning at the latest. So this week's podcast, what are we going to be covering? I'm going to be talking about some TV shows with my buddy Eric Billingsley. He's joining us again this week. He's going to be our TV expert. Also, Isaac has got another Loot Crate unboxing. And once again, you can catch that the video of that unboxing as soon as we get that up. It'll be on, you'll see it on our Nerd Up Podcast website, which is nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. For those of you subscribing on iTunes, you'll want to check out the website every so often because we got our videos posted there. Once again, Isaac will be posting his Loot Crate unboxing. You can actually see the items we're talking about as they come out of the Loot Crate. And we make it as much of a mystery as possible. We unbox and pull them out one by one without looking at what was supposed to be, you know, all together in the box. We take them out one by one, so we are surprised as you are. So that'll be in the first segment. We'll talk about the Loot Crate unboxing. Then we'll come back and join Eric Billingsley, and he and I will talk about television and fun stuff there. And there's one of my favorite shows coming to an end this week, and I'm kind of upset about it, but they always do a good job with the ending, so we'll see what happens. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Right now, it's time for the Loot Crate unboxing.
All right, it's time for another Nerd Up Podcast Loot Crate unboxing from Pikachu Lover 88.
I have no clue of the theme this year because I wasn't paying attention to the Facebook page.
Isn't it on the top?
Is it? Maybe launch base, is it? I don't know. I saw the trailer that it said that it was out in outer space and it showed
all
a video.
Right. Well, let's open it and find out what it is.
Oh. It's probably, it's probably better if it's right side up. Yeah. Oh.
What is... What?
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, okay. But what was the theme? You got to bring out the book and bring out the theme.
Oh, yeah. Launch.
Launch. See? The launch base. It's a launch.
Right. I'll check them out after.
Okay, what do you got? First of all, let's go over the first thing you got is General Zod. It's a, what do they call those things?
Pop.
So you're
not a big
General
fan
Zod.
Of Superman.
Well, no, but General Zod. Brandon would like that, I'm sure. From the Man of Steel movie.
Show them what I got up there. Real
okay,
quick.
Hold,
pan
hold
over
on.
There.
Okay, hey, look, he's got... Lasher. Now, for those of you listening to the iPod, you're not going to be able to see that, but he's got a Lasher action figure. Okay, that was the panning sound of the camera.
So,
and Snoopy licking himself. Anyway, all right, so the theme is, what is it again?
Launch.
Launch, okay.
Hey, all who right. turned out the lights?
Launch. All right, so what do you got there now? A book. A
Star Wars Galactic Phrase Book and Travel Guide.
Oh, okay. Give us an example.
Actually,
you're too long. People are bored of the podcast already.
He ceased.
Oh, yeah? Really? You did? And you're proud of it? Okay, anyway. So
yeah, I killed.
That Star Wars kill. Phrase Book and Travel Guide. All right, what do you got there?
Star Wars Ground Assault Game Pack.
Game Pack for Ground Assault. Oh, that's for a Star Wars game.
Oh, of course.
Okay,
game
and...
I probably don't have.
Ooh, Star Trek. Now, that's awesome.
Oh, what the heck is this now?
A melted Rubik's Cube.
I am tripping.
And a Star Trek lapel pin. Sticker.
Better not put that on a red shirt. A
NASA. Oh, a NASA patch. Now, that is awesome. That's super awesome.
It's an official NASA patch.
So
kind of just like show that right
official NASA patch. Now, what do you got here? A button.
a button of Loot Crate. First in space, January 2014 launch. It's true. Hey, I got two of them here. You can have one.
Oh, sweet. We're both loot, but first in space. All right, and looks like Minecraft something or another. Is that a mini calendar?
Yep, 16 months.
Sweet, sweet Minecraft so mini calendar.
Pretty much half of next month.
Ah, okay, half of next year.
Half of next month.
You really got some math problems going on. All right, so once again, this month's Loot Crate was launch is the theme. And as we got items, here's what we got.
Stuff out of this world. Oh, I had to go with that.
So first, the General Zod Pop Heroes. And then you got the Minecraft calendar, the NASA patch, the Star Trek emblem. I want to keep that.
Go ahead.
And then we got the melting Rubik's Cube, which is cool looking. Flash that up for the camera.
Ooh.
That's a sticker, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Feels like a weird sticker.
All right. Then you got a Star Wars game pack for the Ground Assault card game, it looks like.
Okay.
Okay. And then Star Wars Phrasebook book, or Galactic Phrasebook and Travel Guide. Well, you know, when are you going to go traveling?
And then this.
And, of course, the book.
Wait. Hold on. I want to see if there's anything else we could have gotten.
And the Out of This World button, which is cool.
It's all out of this world. Get it. Oh, look at that. Hold on. Mega Crate.
The Mega Crate would have been awesome. How do you get the Mega Crate? We're going to really research that and find out.
I'm pretty sure, isn't that what you get for if you video?
Something, but you video all the time, so apparently that's not exactly all you have to do.
You have to video for a year, I believe. I don't know.
So, anyway, so that's what it is. That was the Loot Crate.
Oh, wait. I could have gotten Superman and Zod, or I could have gotten Domo.
Domo Zod. Nice.
Zomo Superman.
Domo Superman. I'm better. All right, so that's the Loot Crate for this time around. Launch. Can't wait for next month, because we have fun every single time, and apparently Isaac loves the Minecraft calendar the best. So, all right, that's it for the Loot Crate unboxing and this Nerd Up podcast. Once again, visit us at nerduppodcast.blogspot.com, and also PikachuLover88. That's where this video, you're watching it now.
All right, here we are back with the Nerd Up podcast, the regular edition, and now you see the Loot Crate. I'll tell you what, it's so cool. Isaac gave me the Star Trek sticker that came in the Loot Crate. That was kind of cool. It's like the emblem that Captain Kirk wore on his shirt, and it was a sticker, and it was like, I don't know where to stick that yet, but I know you probably have a few suggestions, but don't give them to me. So anyway, right now we're joined by Eric Billingsley. Eric's going to be our TV expert here on the Nerd Up podcast. Once again, don't forget, check out our website, nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. There's all sorts of interesting things on that page. You can find other little intriguing things about us, like us on Facebook and everything else. You can find the links there. And I'm sure we'll get some information on Eric put up there somehow, some way. But hey, welcome back, Eric.
Hey, I'm glad to be back.
And are you ready to talk some TV?
Sure am.
We're going to talk about nerdy TV. But, well, first of all, what do you have to spiel upon us this week, Eric?
Well, you know, it's funny you say nerdy TV because it's kind of funny that over the past, I don't know, decade or a little bit longer, nerdy TV and nerdy movies have really become more mainstream than they used to be. So, you know, I like to call it nerd chic.
You know, you go.
we are the people that used to get beat up and have our lunch money taken from us, and now everyone wants to be a nerd.
Exactly. They even have reality shows based on people becoming the king of the nerds. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's everywhere you look now, and I'm not sure who we have to thank for that, but it's nice to be able to talk openly about nerdy things and not be constantly derided. But speaking of TV, I've got a couple of shows I was going to bring up this week. Sleepy Hollow just had its season finale, and Sleepy Hollow, I don't know, is that a show that you've been watching, Gil?
No, and everybody tells me I should, and you've told me I should. I think I should. And now that it's the season finale, I think I can watch all the episodes in a row, I might have to check that out.
It is probably not what you would be expecting. And that's what I love about it, I knew the people who were making it were the same people who did Fringe, and I was a big Fringe fan. And I did have high hopes, but I had no idea really what kind of a show this was going to be. Was it going to be, really dark? Was it going to be really sciencey like Fringe? Was it going to be a police procedural, which kind of, Fringe was kind of an FBI procedural at times.
Uh-huh.
there were a lot of different directions they could have gone with it. And what they wound up doing with it was, it can, at times it is very dark and can be pretty violent and bloody at times, but it also has a very light side to it. And there's Tom Meeson or Meeson, I can't remember how you pronounce the guy's name. a British actor is playing Ichabod Crane, and he's very likable. He has a real strong hold on who this character is and how he wants to play him, and he's fun to watch, you know, and like that's a big part of what drives the show. His partner, the actress's name I think is Nicole Beharre. Forgive me if I'm messing that up, but anyway, her character's name is Abby, and she's a modern day small time sheriff's department policeman. Who basically partners up with him. And the thing that makes it work, like the thing that makes almost any successful show work, is the chemistry between the two actors. And they have a great chemistry. You really believe that these two people really like and care about each other. And that really is what drives the interest in the show. But of course, as a sci-fi nerd and horror nerd, I started watching it because of the source material. And basically what they have done, they have taken the legend of Sleepy Hollow, mm-hmm. With the Headless Horseman, and they have injected it with steroids. They have the Headless Horseman in this is a red coat during the Revolutionary War that Ichabod Crane beheads at the last moment, but he also winds up being mortally wounded himself. But his girlfriend, who he marries, actually it's his wife, Katrina, is a witch, and she puts a spell on him which ties him in with the accidentally with the Headless Horseman, and somehow they are both put into a stasis and they both awake at the same time 200 years later. And the as it turns out, as you find out, that the Headless Horseman is actually the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So he's, you know, basically the show is these two characters trying to avert or or hold back the coming apocalypse. Meanwhile, the Headless Horseman, who is not the main bad guy, but he is sort of the main lieutenant for the main bad guy, who is this demon named Moloch. They're trying to bring about the apocalypse, and these two guys are trying to, you know, keep them from accomplishing their task. But there's a lot of little side stories going into this. And there's a lot of humor in it. And as I said, this was done by the same people who did Fringe. And one of my favorite characters, no, definitely my favorite character on Fringe, was Walter.
Yeah.
And the actor who played that part, John Noble, is a recurring character in Sleepy Hollow. So
yeah, well, that's
he
what
showed up about halfway through, and I've been really enjoying his character.
Well, when you brought that up last week, when you said that he was a recurring character, that's what intrigued me the most about it. It's like, okay, I loved Walter Bishop in Fringe. He was freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and the actor playing him just is phenomenal. And when you brought that up, that's like, okay, maybe I will.
Yeah, if you're a fan of John Noble, you definitely got to check this show out. But okay. Anyway, they just had their season finale. The finale, I won't say I didn't like it. I did like it. It seemed to squeeze a little too much in, tried to be a little too ambitious. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to seen a lot of the plot points maybe spread out a little more evenly in previous episodes. But it is what it is, and it definitely leaves you at a cliffhanger, which I fully expected the show would.
Right.
And, you know, I'm anxious to see what they do with it the next season. But I heard read another review of the finale and some speculation on what they think that the show might be doing in the future. And one of their theories sounds pretty sound to me, and it would be really interesting if this is what they do. But that each season that they introduce a new horseman, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, is introduced each season, so that each season they're getting closer and closer to the quote-unquote apocalypse. Anyway, how they do that, or if that's the direction they go, it'll be interesting to watch. But anyway, if you know, if you have time, definitely add it to your schedule. Sleepy Hollow is definitely a quality show, and I'm very happy to see that it is popular, and it's got quite a following already. So I don't think it's going to be going anywhere anytime soon. Knock on wood.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing. Yeah, you told me about it. You just kind of gave me some a slight description last time around that we talked, and you intrigued me enough to where, like I said, I'm going to have to give it a chance. In fact, last week I forget what time it. Something else was on at the same time, and I switched back and forth, and what I caught of it was intriguing enough for me to keep to actually go back. I'm going to watch it on demand and probably add it to my list for next season. So
yeah, and I would fully expect that it'll show up on Netflix too pretty soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the networks do this. They put like 90% of their best shows on Mondays, yeah, all up against yeah. each other. It yeah. drives me nuts. The rest of the week is like almost nothing to watch. It's all on Mondays and Sundays, pretty much.
You know, I got to throw this in. Growing up, I remember Fridays and Saturdays were the nights for television. I mean,
yeah.
I think Battlestar Galactica was like on Friday night, and then you had like Saturday night. You had some great shows. Now it's like Saturday night is just nothing. It's a void right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
There's nothing on. They should put some good stuff on there. But I guess they figure everybody's out partying or something. I don't know.
So. Yeah, that's the logic. And really, if they put something on Friday night, it's because the network considers it to be dead weight or that it's dying. And it's where they send the shows just before they're ready to bury them.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a. Well, that's what's funny, because like the last season of Fringe, I believe, was on Friday night, so, and yet it was mm-hmm. still popular among us cool people. So,
well, it was only because the fans were so vociferous about keeping the show on the air.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, it's good to see that their fans like that are active like for that. Yeah. Too bad they weren't around for Firefly. All right, what else you got?
Well, let's hear something else that I also mentioned briefly last week. I just saw the second episode. The third is on tonight. It's True Detective on HBO.
Okay.
It's Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson in investigating this murder, maybe a series of murders at this point. No one's really sure. But it looks like it may have ties to the occult. It was ritual. The murder was ritualistic, and like there were deer antlers like affixed to the victim's head. And she was posed in a very specific way. And so it's already a really interesting case if it was just a standard police procedural. Mm-hmm. But it's really a lot more ambitious than that. And they jump back and forth during like 3 points in time. You see both of these detectives 10 years after the case was investigated. Recalling how they recalled the case, and of course their stories sometimes conflict. They're two very different personalities, and they don't always get along that great. Mm-hmm. But of course that's the making of a good drama. But
yeah, true.
This last episode, now I am a huge Twin Peaks fan.
Yeah, me too. You got me yeah. there.
that was probably the first show I ever saw that made me realize just what the potential of a TV show could possibly be. Uh-huh. It really opened up my mind, it really blew my mind, because it's exactly what it did. It's not – True Detective doesn't have that kind of quirkiness that David Lynch brought to Twin Peaks, and it certainly there's a laugh here and there, but it's pretty dour and pretty dark mm-hmm. Most of the way through. As a matter of fact, if I was going to compare it, I would say it's more like – the movie Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me,
okay,
which if you'll remember, that was very different in a lot of ways from the TV series because it was so dark and
yeah.
very, very violent, and when I saw it, I was expecting more of Twin Peaks, and what I got, you know,
it was more of a David Lynch movie. It was like
it's
just like any David Lynch movie, like Blue Velvet or Mulholland Drive or stuff like that. Yeah.
Right, but it was very different than what I expected,
yeah.
I won't say that I disliked it at all, but it was because it was different than what I expected. It took some time for me to adjust, but now it's at least on par with the series, if maybe not even slightly above it, because he was able to do things with the movie that he couldn't get away with the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, True Detective does remind me a lot of that movie, in the dark places that it's going, in the characterizations. It's really hard for me to put a finger on exactly why it gives me that Twin Peaks vibe, but it definitely does. So if you're a fan of Twin Peaks, I think that you would really enjoy the show. It's not by any means trying to mimic Twin Peaks, other than the fact that the whole story is spurned by the murder of a girl. There's really not a whole lot plot-wise that they have in common. It's just that vibe. But anyway, I'm very excited to see the remaining six episodes and see where this goes. But definitely add that one to your schedule as well.
I'll be looking out for that one. Okay. Actually, I'll wait for more reports from you before I start on it. I'll let you be my guinea pig.
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to be any kind of a disappointment. I would be surprised if I end up not liking this, because they've already just blown me out of the water with the first two episodes.
Okay.
But the other show I wanted to talk about is an oldie but a goodie. And the reason I'm bringing it up is it is being revived in May of this year.
Oh?
That show is 24.
Oh.
Yeah, I am a big fan of 24. I missed the first season as it aired. I heard about it after the fact, and it came out on DVD. I remember vividly going to the video store, renting every disc, mm-hmm. taking them home, and watching all 24 hours of the first season in a single weekend. I mean, I could not stop watching this show.
Uh-huh.
Amazing writing as far as you know, roller coaster on the edge of your seat, nail biting, and then leaving you at the edge of the precipice every single episode. So you were compelled to have to put in that next episode. You had to see what was going to happen where they left you the previous episode, and that is a talent in and of itself. And they really squeezed it for all it was worth. Now, a lot of people will criticize the show, and I will as well, that a lot of the plot, if you really stop to think about it, it kind of falls apart, because you're like, okay, this is all taking place in 24 hours. Every hour, all of these things happen in every hour. Mm-hmm. And Jack Bauer, the CTU agent, is dead in the middle of every single thing. You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It just, it defies logic when you try to think about it, it is such a rapid fire show, they don't give you time to think about it. And it's not till after the season's over and you start thinking back about it and just like, well, that was kind of, I don't know how likely that is to happen. But while you're watching it, it never occurs to you. It's a roller coaster.
Right.
And it was like that most seasons. Now, as they wore on, sometimes the seasons got a little weak. There was one season that the entire season was pretty much a direct ripoff of Die Hard 1 and 2. I mean, there were things that were directly lifted from the movie. Like, I remember there was a point where the hero was even crawling through the ductwork with a lighter to light their way, trying to get from one side to the other to avoid being detected by the terrorists.
What's that line Bruce Willis used? Now I know how a sardine feels. Is that what it was?
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
Did he say that?
Yeah, I was expecting them to actually say something like that. Fortunately, they didn't go quite that far. They probably would have been sued.
Yeah, really.
Or maybe not. They're both Fox properties, so maybe not.
Someone would have got permission somehow.
right. But, and I think that that's the reason that ultimately the show was canceled. They did start to gradually lose their audience, and people who really love those first seasons started to get a little disappointed at, I mean, it wasn't like it gradually went downhill all the way. They would go downhill with one season, and then the next season would be a lot better, and then they would hit another low. And then even within the season, you'd have episodes that were outstanding and some that were a little schlocky. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, it was just those schlocky moments started to increase more and more as the show went on. And I think that's eventually what put the stake in the heart of the show. But it's been at least 10 years, I think, now since the show was off the air, if not very close to it.
Has it been that long? Holy cow.
It's been off the air for a while now.
Yeah.
There was talk for several years in a row that they were going to do a 24 movie, which I was very excited to see. Although how they were going to translate that, 24 hours of real time into a 2-hour movie, if you get rid of that gimmick, I'm not sure how that would work.
Yeah.
Now, the new season that they're bringing back is only going to be 12 one-hour episodes. So it's not going to be 24 episodes like it was before.
Okay.
And how they're going to do that, I'm not really sure. It kind of remains to be seen. But what the producers and writers have said about it is they're like, well, the reason that the show kind of lost its edge after a while is because 24 hours is a lot of writing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, you know, and it would become obvious that they were filling things out. They were stretching things out because they knew they had to fill 24 hours of programming.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, you know, if we only have to fill half that amount of time, they're like, we can keep it going and not have to put in so much filler and, you know, and keep those thrills coming a lot more back to back. So I can get behind that. I can see where they're coming from in that respect.
Well, maybe now they can give the characters time to go to the bathroom or something, because, you know, they never did that in 24 hours, and I can't exactly, go without that.
That's what's going to happen is every episode they're going to have an hour in between where they're out and with, but, you know, Kiefer Sutherland is going to come out with a towel around his neck. Oh, man, I really needed that shower.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they'll give him time to do these things that we do on a daily basis.
But this season is actually going to take place in the UK and Great Britain. Yeah, so there's a new angle there. During the course of the series, they were in L.A. most of the seasons, but I think the last couple of seasons they might have been in New York. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be completely taking them out of the U.S. To another country. I'm not sure what the plot is that's going to bring him there. Is going to be, I'm trying to avoid as many spoilers as I can. But I do know that they are bringing back his love interest from, I think, season three or four. The character's name was Audrey Raines, and they're bringing her back. And her father, who was played by William Devane.
Oh, right.
Secretary Heller was the character's name. And they're both going to be in this season. So that's kind of cool that they're bringing back a couple of familiar faces. And the only other familiar face that they're bringing back is most fans' favorite, Chloe O'Brien, who is this kind of frumpy, mousy computer expert who was always on Jack's side and was always the person that he could rely on most, and, you know, who got him out of a lot of sticky situations. And everyone came to love Chloe and her antisocial behavior,
right? Yeah,
and her just general frumpiness. So she's going to be back, and that's very cool. I'm glad to see that as well. But other than that, it's going to be an all new cast. And I did hear something the other day that one of the new cast members is Stephen Fry. Do you know who that is?
And that name's real familiar. I know. I bet I do. Who is that?
Okay, you've played Portal 2, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember the character's name. He's the timid little robot that basically guides you through the entire game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So. Yeah, and I remember Portal 2 is a classic game. That's going to go down in the annals of video game history. It's one of the most just generally entertaining games ever made.
Exactly, yeah.
But I remember laughing out loud many, many times at Stephen Fry's dialogue in that. And so, you know, when I heard he was going to be in this, I was just like, oh, that should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, God, now you got me thinking. I got to figure out what that is now. So, but yeah. Yeah, you know, the whole they're bringing in more nerds to watch the show now with him doing, because I know these video game nerds, anytime they hear of a character that voiced a character in the game, mm-hmm. they see him acting, they go, I gotta see what he looks like. So
yeah
cool.
Well, apparently he's an established actor, but I can't think of anything he's been in. I'm sure if I looked him up on IMDb I would remember him from something, but I just that name will always, the first thing that'll pop into my head is Wheatley from Portal 2.
Cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that comes back on in May. They're shooting it right now in the UK. And I've been seeing like little pictures here and there on Facebook, cause I'm friends with their page.
Uh-huh.
So they post little pics and little bits of news. That's where I heard about Stephen Fry. And yeah. So if you've seen 24 and we're a fan, then, you know, I think you're going to be excited to see the new season. I know I am. If you haven't seen it, all the episodes are on Netflix in high def, and they've also been airing on the Audience Network on DirecTV, which is where I've been kind of rewatching them as well. So there's lots of opportunity to get caught up with the show before May, and I highly recommend it. It's one of the better shows to come down the line.
Cool, that's interesting news. I've always wondered But you know what? What they could have done more if they, you know, had more seasons to go. I mean, like you said, though, there were times where it's like, well, you're getting a little cheesy there. So, yeah. But we'll see. Maybe, yeah, bring it back. And like you said, just in the 12 episode, give them time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So, cool. What else you got?
Well, that's all I got for today.
Okay. Well, I got some for you then.
All right.
I basically wanted to talk about a few of these. Let's see. Do you watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I certainly do.
I kind of figured that. on a future upcoming episode, in fact, I think it's this week's episode.
Stan Lee.
Yeah, well, they're going to have Sif from the Thor movies. Sif is going to be making an appearance. So they're actually going to bring in a lot of complaints I've seen online about, well, they don't have any heroes on here. And they're, you know, and Joss Whedon was trying to stay away from actually using heroes. He thought it would be too much of a gimmick, but... I guess with the complaints, maybe they decided, or I'm sure they already had it planned, but Sif will be making an appearance in an upcoming episode. And I'm thinking this week's.
Well, what I read was that, and I don't remember if this came from Joss Whedon directly or Jed Whedon or someone else on the production, but I remember reading early on, before the show even premiered, that they wanted to purposely keep any superheroes out of the story for a while because and I agree with this. If they had had like Thor show up in the first episode, then any episode that didn't have Thor or any of the established Marvel heroes in it, people would have been like, you know, where's Thor? Where's Captain America or whatever.
Right.
This way they wanted the audience to have an opportunity to get to know these new characters and come to care about the characters before they started putting in the guest stars.
Right.
They've done a guest shot. Well, I think two guest shots actually with Nick Fury, which was cool.
Sam Jackson making anytime he makes an appearance anywhere, it's awesome. So.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, he made two appearances, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad. One thing I'm glad is that they're not doing it like when the Thor movie came out. They didn't bring Sif in at that time, or Thor. You know, it's like that would have been really cheesy cross, you know, contamination, in my opinion.
But they did tie it in.
They did tie it in, and they did it. They did a great job of it. Is the aftermath. I mean, the movie there was the destruction, and they had to go and clean it up. And it's like, and that's what they do. And it's like they tied it in perfectly. I think. I mean, there's no other way they could have done it because they had to have mentioned, you know, the aftermath in some way, and that's a good way to do it. But this one, I'm not sure in what capacity, what she's going to be doing. I have a feeling somehow she's going to be helping the agents find an object, I'm sure. That's my theory. So we'll see what happens on that. But Sif will be making an appearance, and I'm happy to see that some of them. I can't wait to see. I actually would like to see more, and just on a random basis, and maybe not even a whole episode, you know, more heroes show up just because, hey, they all exist in the same world, and they cross over in the comics all the time, so why not on television? So we'll see. I can't wait, though. I want to see Spider-Man make an appearance in an Avengers movie. That's all I got to say.
I've been seeing some comments that Avi Arad, or I think his name is, that owns the rights to from Sony Studios to the Spider-Man franchise, has basically said, no, we're not going to be doing that.
Yeah, and same with the X-Men. And it's like, come on.
Yeah.
They all exist.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe if the fans get up in arms about it, they'll change their mind on that aspect. Let's see, another show, speaking of superheroes, Arrow. Are you a fan of Arrow?
Actually, no, I've not watched Arrow. I've heard it's a pretty good show, and it's got one of my favorite actors from Doctor Who and Torchwood in it.
John Barrowman?
John Barrowman.
Yep.
So it's been on my list to one of these days catch up with, but I have not as of yet done that.
Yeah, he plays a pretty dang cool character. He's very evil, so it's good to see him. Because I, you know, in the Doctor Who, you know, as Jack Harkness. There we go.
Yeah.
Captain Jack Harkness. It's like you know, he's a good guy all around. Although he's got some little spiteful streaks in him, but and in Torchwood also. You know, he's just a nice guy all around. Well, he's a bad guy in this. He does a pretty good job as a bad guy, too. So, but yeah, Arrow, they're getting ready to close out the season. I'm pretty sure they got like quite a few episodes left. But I've got one issue with it. The last couple of episodes, they've hinted at the Flash. And they had Barry Allen come and help them with a case. And then when he went back, there was a combination lightning storm and some sort of nuclear accident. And they basically showed him getting his powers. And so this last episode I saw, Oliver Queen's assistant, assistant to Oliver Queen and the Green Arrow. Anyway, she's in love with Barry Allen, and so she had a marked absence because she was there as he recovered from his accident. He was still in a coma, so I'm like thinking, oh, come on, hurry up. He's the Flash. Get him going. And I'm hoping, I've heard rumors, I don't know if they're true yet, but I've heard that they're going to bring a Flash TV series back, and they're going to be using this guy, so...
I would not be surprised.
Yeah, it would be great if they did. And I'm not a big DC fan, but this TV series has changed my mind, especially the way they're doing it. They're really showing his backstory in moments of flashback. I mean, it's not 100% jiving with the original DC or origin story, but, you know, it does the job, and it really makes for a good TV hero.
Well, now, the jumping universes, back to talking about the Marvel universe. Now, I'm pretty much close to ignorant when it comes to comics. I read some comics back in my college days at my friends who collected them, but I already spent way too much money on CDs and movies that I was like, okay, I can't add anything on top of this.
right.
But I would enjoy reading them when I could. But my favorite thing was to read graphic novels that were complete storylines from beginning to end. Uh-huh. Like, what was the Batman one, the most famous
the Dark Knight series?
Yeah.
With Frank Miller, his writings? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I read that, and of course I read Watchmen, and had a huge impact on me.
That was awesome.
To this day.
Mm-hmm.
But I know bits and pieces of it, but I never really, and I've read, you know, some, I read, we talked to you last week about Straczynski's writing for Spider-Man, and uh-huh. I don't know if I read all of his issues, but I read quite a few of them, and I really, really liked them a lot, because, you know, Straczynski's the man.
Right, yeah.
but I have heard, through the grapevine and through, all the rumor mills online and so to speak, that they are working on simultaneous Marvel projects, including at least two original series on Netflix, focusing on different Marvel characters. And I haven't even heard of these Marvel characters. As I said, I'm really out of the loop as far as that goes, but you know, I mean, I'm, as long as it's quality stuff, I'm anxious to see it. What I'm a little worried about is that they may be stretching themselves too thin and trying to do too much at once. And along those same lines, I read also that there are two Marvel heroes that I've never heard of that are going to be, I don't know if they're going to be regulars or just recurring characters on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they're actually two superheroes from the Marvel Universe that are going to become part of that story. So I don't know if that's probably going to be next season, I'm guessing. But,
probably, yeah. Well, what do you happen to remember what they were, the names of the characters?
I don't, unfortunately.
See, if you're a
but
fan.
But if you go online and search for Marvel superheroes and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you'll probably be able to find the news.
Well, that'd be cool. I'll definitely be looking that up. So, yeah, I've always been a Marvel, make mine Marvel all the time, and here lately I've been getting into DC, thanks to Arrow, actually. Plus the relaunching, DC relaunched all their comics in the New 52, and they basically started over on a lot of their storytelling and continuity, and I've picked up a few other DC comics and been reading them, so it's like, yeah, well, makes it worthwhile, because now I got the best of both worlds. Before is like, oh no, you can't. I guess it's like the Ford and Chevy people. You can't drive a Chevy, you can't drive a Ford, you know. But now it's like, oh, they're all comics, I'll read them all. So, all right, well, moving on here, let's talk about some other TV shows that I've been watching, and I wanted to maybe see if we can get some intake from you. Are you watching Grimm?
Oh yeah, yeah, from the beginning.
That's such a cool show. It's a great idea. He's basically a descendant of the Grimm brothers, to an extent, and they need to go back and more about his genealogy and talk more about that. But the latest one, I love that we got to meet. Now I forget his name. The Blutbotten, his friend that helps him out.
Monroe.
Monroe, there we go, thank you. Monroe's parents, because he's getting married to the Fuchsbau. I love the German names they use too, by the way. But yeah,
no, I have to stop you and warn you right here. I am actually two episodes behind on Grimm because of the show that I'm doing right now. I've got a DVR full of stuff I've got to catch up on.
Well, I won't give you a spoiler then, but I will tell you, and this is all in the promos, is that they get to meet Monroe's parents. They get to meet his fiance, and they also get to meet the Grimm, Nick, and it makes for a cliffhanger of an episode too. But the thing I liked about the latest episode, and you're going to find this fun, they talk about the Wild Hunt, and have you ever read any Jim Butcher books?
No,
Dresden
I have
Files.
Not.
Okay, Harry Dresden, the wizard, he's always talked about the Wild Hunt, in which basically all mystical beings gather and do the Wild Hunt, and you either hunt or die. But anyway, they bring in the Wild Hunt aspect into this series, and it's kind of a cool character. He collects scalps, and it's just pretty cool. So, all right, I'll try not to spoil too much, but it is a really fascinating episode, and it keeps getting more and more into the history of the Royals and what's happening there. And I'm trying to think of ways not to spoil it, but the whole story, that's what I like about this season of Grimm, is you're getting into more of the mythos and the Royals and what their part was in it. And it's like, they're really, whenever they come with a season ending, you know, it's going to be, the season finale is just going to be one huge cliffhanger. You can tell they're building up to it. So be ready for that. Yes.
And I got to say, my favorite character from the very beginning, and still is my favorite character, is of course Monroe.
Yeah.
I think he just brings such a presence.
Yeah.
to the show. And he's also the comic relief, and but he just, the guy just has a very unique look about him.
Yeah.
So it was great casting, you know, about finding him. And but a character that, of course, I started off hating, which is now one of my favorite characters on the show, is the Lieutenant Renard.
Yeah.
You talked about the Royals and everything, and his character has definitely been developed over the last season or two as an ally. But of course, there's still a little bit of distrust there. There's still things that the Grimm won't tell him and keeps to himself, because they just aren't sure what to make of him. But the actor, I've seen the actor in a lot of different things, and he's a good character actor. But what has impressed the hell out of me in this show is that he has been able to fluently speak two or three different languages.
Yeah.
Without a hitch. And I was like, okay, this is not someone, I mean, if he just learned those lines just for those episodes, then he has a hell of an ear for languages.
Yeah.
But what is more likely, it sounds like, is that he is multilingual and that he knows these languages already, because he speaks them perfectly. You know, I've heard him speak German, French, and Russian.
Yep.
And maybe even more over the course of the show. And it just, every time he speaks one of these languages, like, damn, that guy must be smart.
yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you touched on something. He has been a great character actor, been in other things before. He was my favorite character in the Caprica series, you know, the sequel to, or prequel to Battlestar Galactica that they had for a while.
Right. Who was he in Caprica?
He was, the brother that was part of the gang.
That's right. That's right.
I can't think of the character's name, but he is always telling Adama. Can't think of the actor who played him now. He was in La Bamba.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but he was always, you know, telling him that, hey, you need to stick to Richard. But anyway, he was my favorite character in that series, and as like, and then when I saw him on Grimm, I'm like, hey, I'm watching this. So,
yeah.
But, you're right. At first, they kind of just hinted at him being something. And, yeah, and like you said, he's also, you know, not telling the Grimm everything. But then again, or the Grimm's not telling him and everything. But then again, he's not telling a lot to the Grimm.
Right.
So, yeah, there's some good mystery and intrigue. But, yeah, that's another one that when the season, they're going to have a huge cliffhanger. I just know it. So, and I hope it's not another hokey one like Nick's wife going into a coma. I thought that was a hokey cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I was like, come
and there
on.
Was And it didn't really, there weren't many surprises in, you know, in that whole storyline. It's like, okay, you knew that because Renard woke her up, that yeah. she was going to have a thing for Renard. And it just, it took a little while for it to play out. If there'd been some real surprises in there, it would have been a little more of an interesting storyline. But yeah, it was kind of predictable. And,
yeah.
But it did lead to, you know, Renard becoming a more sympathetic character and being better developed. So
yeah.
there was some good things to it.
Good stuff came out of it, but going into it is like, well, that's kind of cheap. But
yeah.
But it turned out all right, though. So and yeah, this season has been one of the better seasons out of all of them so far for it. So let's see here. Another series I want to talk about is Supernatural. You've been watching that one ever?
I have watched the first two seasons, uh-huh. and I liked it. The first season, it took me a while to get into it. The first season just felt a little too much like an X-Files ripoff.
Yeah.
But then again, I thought the same thing about Fringe the first season. And then, you know, they found their own beat and started dancing to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I started to feel that in the second season. So I definitely want to get down to it. I'm so far behind. It's amazing how I know the show must be hugely popular because it has been like navigating a minefield trying not to read spoilers because they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the first season, it was pretty much character development between Sam and Dean Winchester. That's exactly all it was. And they had to go on these separate missions, and they were just episodic, really. You know, one episode didn't have anything to do with much of another, except at the end of the season, you realize, oh, now I know all I need to know about Sam and Dean Winchester. But
right, right.
And then the second season they started picking up and they had this huge storyline to tell. You know, I mean, the thing is though, those guys have been to hell and back, literally, and with all the things that they've done this season now, the latest episode, basically they opened the gates, or actually they got all the angels expelled from heaven. Metatron tricked them into that. And all the angels are expelled from heaven, and there's still no sign of God in this series either. That's one of the things they keep saying: God is missing; he left. And so it's very interesting and intriguing on that aspect. They've defeated Lucifer, and Crowley, played by another great
Alistair.
Yeah, well, you always wonder. No, it's like, why didn't they do Alistair Crowley? But anyway, he just goes by Crowley, and he's played by the guy that played the attorney on Battlestar Galactica. I can't think.
Morgan. And who was also in Doctor Who.
Like, he's been in a few episodes of Doctor Who. Yeah, yeah. And he's just so badass. And in fact, there's a scene in the latest episode. All these demons, they found Cain, yes, as in Cain and Abel. They really got some great mythological tie-ins on this series. They found Cain.
He was also Badger in Firefly. Don't forget that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I forgot about that. Holy
yeah,
crap,
he
yeah.
has done every major sci-fi series for
yeah,
the last 20
I forgot
years.
About that.
This guy is, yeah, and, king nerd.
Yeah, and he plays his character. And he plays Crowley so awesome. With this latest episode, all these demons are attacking. Basically, there's a fight between who's going to be the king of hell. He was, but then he got captured by the Winchesters and held hostage. And so this other lady took over as the queen of hell. And now he's back. He's wanting to reclaim his throne. With the help of Dean Winchester. But anyway, in this latest episode, they find Cain, so they have to find a blade that can kill this Abaddon, that she's the queen, so that Crowley can get back in control. So they find Cain, and every demon in the world, it seems like, are now converging on them and ready to blow, you know, just tear them apart. And so Cain, he's testing Dean to see if he could be a soldier or not. And so he lets in a few of the demons into inside his house, which he's got protected. And Crowley and Dean Winchester are there, and Dean is fighting like two or three of them. Two or three of them come in a separate door, and Crowley's fighting them off. And Crowley, you know, he looks like he's getting his butt kicked, and he gets hit a couple times. And he stands up finally after one hit, and he goes, "You're good." And then he goes, "But I'm Crowley." And then he just commences to kick an ass, and I'm like, it's just one of the best scenes I have seen. And then he sits back and watches Dean tackle the rest of them because he's kind of, you know, that way. But yeah, they're really building up. So basically, Dean and Crowley are off trying to reclaim Crowley's throne in hell. Sam and Castiel, the angel, they're off on a separate mission to regain heaven. So it's like, first they battled and beat all these people in heaven and hell. Now they're trying to reclaim because they, I guess they realize the error in what it does to the people on Earth. So this season is another one of those heavy seasons for Supernatural. So you got to watch it. If nothing else, Crowley, he'll rock your world, man. He's cool. So
yeah, it is high on my list to catch up with, and I got away from it, and I just haven't had. I mean, I haven't watched anything on Netflix in so long now, and I love Netflix. I just haven't had a chance. I have so many shows on that are currently on TV that I just don't even have time to watch any of the older stuff, and it's really a sad state of affairs. But it is high on my list, and I will eventually get caught up on that show. It may take me a while, but
yeah,
it is something I'm interested in for sure.
Well, that's one thing. That's why we have a podcast like this, is for, you know, cause you can't have time to watch everything. So we can we can summarize for the people, and like you know, some of the shows you watch, you'll be able to watch them for me, and I'm like, okay, maybe I don't need to watch it, but. So, and maybe that's what I'll do for Supernatural, either that or intrigue you just enough where you're going to put it higher on your list or something. So, but,
well, I started watching that at the same time on Netflix as I started watching, Buffy.
Oh,
I'm such a huge Joss Whedon fan, and I'd seen everything he did except for Buffy and Angel. Oh. And so I was like, okay, I gotta get caught up with these. Now it's been harder for me to get into Buffy because I'm too old for the whole teen angst thing.
Yeah.
But you know, they seem to be, I think I've watched the first three seasons now. And they seem to be gradually getting away from that and more into the demonology and, you know, ass kicking phase of the show. And I'm definitely seeing, you know, this was his first show, and I'm definitely seeing his talent solidifying as he goes along, and he's becoming more aware of what is right and what is wrong as far as the writing goes.
Yeah.
And I want to finish up the Buffy and Angel series as well, one of these days.
But, eventually, it's one of those get around to it type things. So, yeah, I'll tell you what, the Buffy series, I'm with you on that. First couple seasons were very angsty, and then after mm-hmm. then, just well, the last season was the one that really, I mean, I watched a few episodes in the last season, actually the last few episodes of the last season. I'm like, dang, where was this when I started? I gave up on it for a while, and like, this is good actually. So, and that's what, you're right, it took them time to build up and everything to go from there. So, and I never did watch a single episode of Angel, so you're gonna have to let me know how that is.
Yeah, did you watch Dollhouse when it was on?
I loved Dollhouse, yes.
Yeah, I did too. And that was another one. It took a little while for me to really get into it, but once I did, I was really, really upset when they canceled it. And I was like, oh, come on, really?
Yeah, exactly. And I like
first Firefly, now this.
Yeah, and it was so good too. It's like, oh, you could go forever with this one, with that storyline. And I guess it didn't have the ratings or something. But well, one thing I like about Joss Whedon, he uses a lot of the same characters or actors in the things.
Actors, yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, it's these actors that really make these things stand out. In this season of Supernatural, I can't think of the actor's name.
Tama Pennicott.
Yeah, that's him. Also in Battlestar Galactica. Well, he's in this season. And
he's also in Continuum.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I love Continuum. That's a cool one. But the one thing that always gets me about him is his lip thing, his bottom lip. watch him. Watch his bottom lip. It does it in everything he does, and I can't tell what kind of emotion he's trying to portray. But anyway, he's a great actor. He played Hilo.
He was also in The Killing.
I don't know about that. I haven't seen that.
Well, the first season's really good. But,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. And he plays a renegade angel in Supernatural. So, he's, again, whenever these actors cross over, it's like, okay, I know it's going to be a good episode because I like that actor. So, he's one of them that got.
Go ahead.
He's one of them that made made me want to. What was it? Continuum? No, it wasn't Continuum. A friend of mine actually sent me discs from Canada, and I started watching that, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I was like, it came on Sci-Fi, and I'm like, I could have waited, but now, but I'm trying to think. He got me to watch, because he was in it, made me watch a series, and I can't remember what it was now. But when I saw him on this season of Supernatural, it was like, okay, this is gonna be a good season. So,
yeah, he works a lot.
Yeah, that's a good thing too, and he works on some good sci-fi type shows. So
yeah. But, you know, speaking of crossovers, I'm surprised that we haven't seen more Joss Whedon regulars show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've seen a few, but not many. And I'm hoping, I'm really, really, really hoping that they're able to get Alan Tudyk to come on, because that guy is just pure awesomeness.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a show called Suburgatory, I think.
Yeah, Suburgatory, yep.
Which I've never seen, so I don't know if he's probably too busy to do another show, but they're both on ABC, I think, so, you know, it wouldn't be like a contractual problem, I don't think, so he might just be able to, you know, dart on over across the studio campus or whatever and do a guest shot or whatever. But yeah, Alan Tudyk is just an amazing actor. I mean, he's really good at drama. He's amazing at comedy. And I could totally see him fitting right in with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So hopefully, knock on wood.
Well, I hadn't thought of that yet, but I guarantee you, I know we're going to see some of his actors come into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. somehow. We will, because that's the way he works. Mm-hmm. And that's good, too, because he knows his good actors. So let's see here. Moving on to a couple other – I only got a few more TV shows I really want to talk about. Mm-hmm. American Horror Story Coven, season finale this week.
Yeah, I'm still on two episodes behind on that one, too.
Oh, man.
But I've been watching it from the beginning. The first season was – I was really blown away by the first season. It was a little uneven as far as like character motivations, and it's like it seemed like every episode that their motivations or their general disposition would like dramatically change, and that kind of bothered me. But the atmosphere for the show was great, and it was just really original and unique in its approach to the whole horror genre. And I really, really dug it. So then the second season came along, and as far as I'm concerned, for my money, as far as quality, that was the best season so far. It wasn't really a scary season. There wasn't many scares in it. It was creepy, but it just, I mean, the way that they're doing the show is usually when it's at its strongest, it's and this goes for most horror and sci-fi, is it works as an analogy for another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last season was definitely a an analogy for homosexual persecution,
right?
And it worked. It just really dovetailed nicely together. It didn't come off sounding preachy. It wasn't, you know, oh well, you ought to be doing this. It just worked. You know, it was even handed. It was, you know, there were no punches pulled. There was nothing thrown in there that felt like it didn't belong. It just really worked, and the whole season came together as a cohesive whole the way that I don't think it's done since or before. And then to me, like the jewel in the crown of last season was the the name game episode where Jessica Lange had the fantasy of the name game, the whole choreography, fully choreographed. It was just perfect. I'm just like blown away by it. I also really like the way, and they've been doing this all along through all the seasons, is they will borrow music from other horror films and insert it into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best examples of that was last season they used the Candyman theme.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite horror themes ever. It's like a music box type thing, just very haunting, creepy. And they used that for at least two or three episodes during last season, and that really was thrilling for me. But yeah, this season's been a little uneven. It doesn't seem to have that other layer, that analogy that made last season work so well. But it's been, I mean, there's been great actors in it. I mean, Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
And of course, Jessica Lange has been back for every season. Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks made a guest shot.
Oh, yeah, that was so cool. It was like the whole season that won the Swamp Rat Witch.
Right.
She had been singing Stevie Nicks songs. And like, I was like, man, they should bring her in. Oh, there she is.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think when you catch up on these next two episodes, you're going to change your mind on how it's kind of hadn't wrapped up yet. Because this last episode, it's like, okay, and I think they've done it with all their seasons. They've gone in all these different tangents that you really never know what's going to happen. Like the Asylum one, they kept throwing in these little aliens, you know, every once in a while.
Oh, right.
And then it's like, what does that have to do? And then at the end of the season, you're like, oh, yeah. Right. You know, well, that's the way this one has, especially this last episode. Basically, in fact, the beginning, the little intro before they run the credits or the opening credits, it pretty much sums up the entire season, what you're expecting. And it's like, okay, now this is making sense. And I think that's the way they do it throughout all three seasons. They've done it all season long. It goes off these weird tangents. You never know what's going to happen. And then the last couple episodes, they tie it all in, and you're like, now that makes sense. So, and I mean, it's not in a bad way that, you know, it's all in these tangents. You know, it's always interesting. But yeah, these last couple episodes, you're going to, when you get caught up, especially the last one that was just last week, basically they have to do a little test to find out, you know, they're trying to find out who's the Supreme, who's taking Jessica all Lange's right. part. And they kind of sum up what's supposed to happen there. And there's some really cool stuff with Papa Legba and the voodoo side of things. So, and the character that played Papa Legba, now, I have not looked it up, the actor's name, the actor mm-hmm. that's playing Papa Legba. That is the same actor that played the head of Fringe.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it took me a while to watch it because they got his makeup so bizarre. And then this last episode is what made me realize that they zoomed in on his face, and I'm like, that's the leader of Fringe.
Boyles.
Yes, Boyles, that's his name, yes. Yeah, and well, that's the character's name. But yeah, that was, it's him, Broyles, that's playing Papa Legba, and it's so cool
awesome.
Now once I realize that. But yeah, you're going to watch this last episode. They've got these trials, so to speak, to see who becomes the Supreme.
Supreme, yeah.
And it's not as simple as that, as just going through these little trials. They've thrown in a few extra changes. But this season, the finale, is I can tell it's just going to be awesome, and I can't wait for it this week. So, all right.
Well, another actor I wanted to mention, too, in that I just had forgotten about, but Danny Houston, who is the part of the famous – you know, the famous Houston family, Angelica, uh-huh. mm-hmm. John Houston, you know, all the directors and actors that have come out of that family.
Mm-hmm.
He is also in another show that I really love a lot called Magic City, which is on Stars. And it's a mob show that takes place like in the 60s in Miami. And he plays this evil, evil SOB mobster. So when I saw him show up in Coven, I was like, oh, wow, cool.
Yeah.
They got Danny Houston.
Now
he's a very, very good actor.
He's the ghost of the serial killer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that, yeah, he's got it. You're going to love this latest episode. I'm not going to say anything about him.
Cool. Can't wait.
He continues serial killing. But anyway, let's move on to another one here. Helix.
Right?
I've only seen three episodes of Helix, but I think this is going to be a good one. I think we touched on it last time, so we really don't have to mm-hmm. say too much about it. But I don't know how many other episodes they've got, because I just haven't found it yet on Sci-Fi on where they're scheduling it. But I've seen three episodes, and I just want to tell people, watch this one. It's going to be a good series.
Yeah, it is. It's the writing is very strong so far. The further it gets along, the more it feels like a Ronald D. Moore production.
Yeah.
Just the way he develops his characters, and the more I see, the more excited I get. And
yeah,
it's only they had a new episode Friday night, which I have DVR'd, haven't watched yet, but I think it's on 8 o'clock on
Friday nights. Okay, cool. I'm gonna make. Well, I was at a Keller Williams concert Friday night, so I didn't get to see.
Yeah.
I got a good excuse. All right, now for some fun shows that I had to throw in. That one of them for sure I'm a huge fan of. It's Archer. Have you ever watched any of the Archer series?
I haven't. I've seen the trailers, and it looks very funny, and it's been very highly rated, but yeah, I haven't watched it.
I'll tell you what, H. John Benjamin, as a character actor, as a voice actor, it just throws me – every time I see him, or hear his voice on a animated show, I just know it's going to be funny, because Bob's Burgers, he played the coach in Home Video, that animation, and I'm trying to think of the other things he's done, but he – he's Archer himself, and now Archer, this season, they've lost their – well, they never had a license to practice spying, so the government shuts them down and seizes all their properties except for, like, a ton of cocaine. So now they're going to now they're gonna sell cocaine to revamp their money loss, and so it's now Archer Vice. And they're just going off in some really cool tangents. They got – oh, gosh, I can't think of the name – from Reno 911, his Officer Dangle. They got that actor voicing one of the guys that rips them off of $1 million and takes their cocaine. It's like it's a funny, funny season. Again, they're no longer doing espionage. Now they're blowing up cartels, and it's just turning out to be a really good season for Archer. And finally, a news show. I decided to watch the first couple episodes of it just out of curiosity, with Bobby Moynihan from Saturday Night Live. It's called Chosen. And it's about a gay white rapper. And
yeah, I've seen the trailers for the previews for that too, but I haven't seen it.
I'll tell you, I'm not sure if it's going to go very far. It's got its funny moments. I will give it that, but I don't know how long they can carry it that way, because it's got an underlying story where this guy, they were part of a school rap group where they were telling kids to stay in school and get good grades, don't do drugs. And one of the rappers in the group was always he didn't like being behind the scenes. And so he framed the other guy, and the leader, Chosen, got put into prison. And when he came out, he's reforming the group, kind of a Blues Brothers type thing, I guess. But it's got some funny jokes. They really play off the gay stereotypes. And at times I'm thinking, well, that's a bit far. And they also play on the rapper stereotypes, and they push those a bit far. But you kind of got to expect that from the way they're putting this. But I don't think they're going to go far. But it was entertaining to watch a couple episodes of it. So I just wanted to let them know my opinion. It's like, okay, it's got its funny moments, but I don't see it lasting too long. And
right.
Especially the limits.
It's an animated broad comedy. So yeah, you're going to get those extremes.
yeah, and that's what they do. They push the extremes. So, right. But yeah, I, in fact, when I first saw the trailer or the previews for it on FX, I thought I really doesn't sound that interesting. But on demand, I said, well, I'll watch the first couple episodes. On demand, I don't have to watch the commercials. I can fast forward and it'll be a lot shorter, and about 20 minutes rather than the whole half hour. And I was glad I did it that way, because I wouldn't have sat through the whole thing. The first commercial, probably without the second commercial of each episode, I'd have given up and changed channels. So, but it had its funny moments. There's some funny stuff in there. So, well, that's all I had to talk about.
Well, I added one other thing is I added a I don't know if we mentioned this last week or not, but I added the show Klondike, which I guess is airing on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a mini series, but it's got the Robb Stark, who's starring in it, and so it looks like it might be good. It's also I think executive produced by Ridley Scott, and of course Ridley Scott does good work. So
yeah.
I set it up on my DVR, and I think they're doing all the episodes back to back, like a week from Friday or something.
Oh.
So anyway, we'll wait. I'll definitely watch that and let you know what I thought of that.
Okay. Well, I read Call of the Wild, so I don't really need to see Klondike, I guess. Gold Rush. Gold Rush thing.
Is it based on the same story, or?
Well, no. Call of the Wild is about a dog that's kidnapped and taken away. You haven't read Call of the Wild? Wow.
I don't think I have.
And that's a high school.
But now that you mentioned about a dog, I was like, yeah, I think I remember seeing the. I don't think I read it, though.
Yeah, he's forced to go to work for the people in the Klondike Gold Rush. And it's, but anyway, as soon as I saw Klondike, I said, I read Call of the Wild. I don't need to see it. But anyway.
But it's Robb Stark.
Well, true, yeah. So I'll find out the synopsis when the series is over from you, and then I'll decide whether I'll go back and watch it.
All right.
Well, that ends the TV section of our podcast. I got a couple things before we exit out of here I got to talk about. First of all, don't forget. Oh, first, I got to ask you, Eric. I haven't asked you. Do you have a Twitter?
Yeah.
Do you have a Twitter account?
Oh, yeah. It's Eric Bill.
Eric Bill.
Or at Eric Bill. At ERICBILL.
Okay, good. Because we're going to be, I want the fans to stay in contact with us through Twitter. I do contests all the time, and I like to give stuff away. That's just my nature. But I do it through Twitter only, because I just like the method of delivery through Twitter. But okay, so you're at Eric Bill. So if anybody ever has a question, tweet at Eric Bill. And, maybe he can answer it on the next podcast. My Twitter, by the way, is at Gil Wilson. That's GILWILSON. But this time around, I've got a book, a couple books to give away. First of all, a mutual friend of Eric and I, Peter Schmidt, has written a book called Summer Hawk. And phenomenal book. We're going to be interviewing Eric here sometime pretty quick. I mean, not Eric. We'll be interviewing Peter pretty quick here. We'll talk about his book. And he's actually working on a sequel as we speak. He told me he's laying off Facebook just so he can have time to write the sequel to the book. And so we'll see what happens there. But we'll be interviewing Peter and talk about the book Summer Hawk, which is a really cool book. It blends the Arthurian legends with modern-day Las Vegas, and it's really a fun read. And I've got one of those books to give away, a copy of Peter Schmidt's book, Summer Hawk. If you want a copy, just tweet me, at Gil Wilson. It's a first-come, first-serve on this contest. First person to tweet me, at Gil Wilson, they'll get a copy of Peter Schmidt's book, Summer Hawk. Also, a new author that I've just kind of discovered this book, it's pretty interesting, Raoul Hawkins. He's from Australia, and Raoul has written a book. It's a very short novel, novella. It's hold on, I'm going to look how many pages there are to this book. 102, and it's a quick read, and it's mildly entertaining and yet still kind of cool on the sci-fi realm. It's called They Don't Have Horses on the Moon, Daisy Lands. And what it is, it's a kind of a parody of Walt Disney, how Walt Disney had himself frozen after he died so they could cure him and bring him back to life. Well, he comes back, and he doesn't like the way his family has ruined Disneyland. He also becomes president, and when he comes back, at about the same time, another man who was at the 50th anniversary of Daisy Land. It's, by the way, the lead character's name is Malt Daisy. So anyway, he is at the 50th anniversary of Daisy Land, and he gets hit by a stage. The stage collapses. He gets hit, and he finds himself in the hospital. He thinks it's the next day, but actually 50 years have gone by. It's now the 100th anniversary of Daisy Land. Malt Daisy has been revived, and he's now president. And the sci-fi goes from there, and it's very weird. They got some really cool... They're taking a trip to the moon to interview Malt Daisy because he doesn't want to live on Earth as the president because he's afraid of being assassinated or something. I'm not quite sure on that. But Malt Daisy, here's the synopsis in the back of the book. Malt Daisy, the famed creator of Daisy Land's amusement park, resuscitated from a cryogenic deep sleep and elected president. Waking in the same cryogenic facility, Neil Hamilton, he discovers the world transformed. He wants to find out what's become of his life. The destinies of these two men are intertwined as a national scandal erupts, threatening chaos and world disaster. So, frightening and funny. They Don't Have Horses on the Moon by Raoul Hawkins. And if you want a copy of this book before we interview the author, all you got to do is tweet me, at Gil Wilson. So, all right. Well, Eric, that does it for the podcast. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
See you then. Thank you. And that's it for the Nerd Up Podcast, nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. I'm Gil Wilson. Stay nerdy. Nerd Up.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.